Hey, where do we want to begin? We have so much content to talk about for these last two episodes.
Chronologically.
Don't we?
Yeah.
You want to talk about Demi?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can absolutely talk about Demi.
In order, yeah. But only because also beginning stuff is kind of slow. Like the Jesenia, Chris, Ivan thing was a little slow.
Oh, I have some gossip about them from the internet to share.
They obviously talked in advance.
Yes, exactly. It's the only thing that made any of it make sense because, you know, when Chris and Chase and Ryan, the Smoke Bros.
Hate on both of them.
Yes, and I don't find the term smoke show offensive. I just find their weird co-opting of it to be like, it's both boring and cheesy and stupid at the same time. I don't like these men. I'll just say that right now.
Right.
Well, I don't like Chase.
Well, we wouldn't even know anything about Chris because he's like never appeared on TV before.
right. That's true.
So he was eliminated night one by Claire on the Claritasia season, and he had literally no airtime, which is what made it so confusing that we kept on hearing from the other women and then Jesenia in like those little to camera interviews that her top two guys she wanted to see on the beach were Ivan and Chris. And it was like, who was even aware of Chris's existence? That makes no sense. Like he's not a person who has appeared on these shows. It would be like, like somebody really saying that they wanted to see Grocery Store Joe before he had ever been on Paradise before.
That's what happened. No one cared. Yeah. I have no idea how the Grocery Store Joe thing caught on to people because I was like, this average looking literal Joe.
He's a literal Joe. But so Chris is apparently, you know, on Jesenia's list for whatever reason. And it was mind boggling to like everyone I know who watches this show was like, she's choosing Chris over Ivan, like that guy. This guy we've never seen before, and Ivan's handsomer anyway, so, like, this is very weird. And, like, nobody got it as a viewer. Nobody understood her choice. And then it had come out that they absolutely knew each other before the show, because there are pictures of them looking pretty cozy together that have been posted on social media that apparently came from... So all this was in the news this week because these photos clearly surfaced, and they were... posted on Instagram, they were Polaroids taken and then photos of the Polaroids posted online. And there were multiple people
at this. What century is it?
No, that's like a cool thing right now, Craig.
It's a cool thing. And apparently the reason why they were Polaroids is because the place where Jesenia and Chris met was at a like bachelor hangout that Katie Thurston had instigated when she visited San Diego. And the pictures were taken via Polaroid because it was, like, before her season was fully out or something. So they were, like, not trying to... She didn't want to, like, have digital photos of them hanging out or something. I don't know. It was some weird, like, these are secret photos, but then we posted them later. So it's confusing, but there was the hangout of multiple Bachelor people in San Diego, and Katie Thurston has... given interviews now and posted online saying that Jesenia and Chris were not dating. They absolutely know each other because they have met for sure, but she claims they're not dating, which could be true. But the picture you show, if they were not dating, they very clearly were flirting with each other and she had like a crush on him or something.
Yeah. I don't think that's totally wrong to do. Like, look, like I think what Piper and Brendan sounds like what they did does cross a line, but I think meeting prior and then wanting to see each other again but holding off until Paradise is kind of right up to the line but not crossing it.
Yeah, I think what annoyed me about it is that we were led to believe that somehow she had a crush on Chris from only having seen him for less than 1 second on Claire's season. And that somehow this was her top guy from that. Whereas it would have made more sense to be like, we have mutual friends or something, and been like, oh, I think he's cute. We have mutual friends.
Since the beginning of any of these spinoff shows, there's always been a, before there was a lot of social media. I don't remember. I guess everyone, there was just no Instagram. There was just Facebook, so it wasn't as easy. There was always bachelor parties, or people would meet up, like bachelor sponsored bachelor parties. So there was people that were like, I'm looking out for that person. You're like, who is that person? You know? So yeah, it's always exactly. happened.
You're like, it's a who little is that bit, guy?
Yeah. It's always been a thing. My big takeaway there was, yeah, they obviously had talked in advance. I don't think anyone who saw them just meet. But then Caitlin, our resident researcher, are there any questions about his sexuality and bachelorization?
Oh, careful. Oh, careful.
Why?
What's the word I'm looking for?
Oh, no. If, look, Craig, I understand that we put these restrictions on ourselves, because I agree with you for the most part that we can't just, you know, that.
Powder keg.
Yeah, okay. I agree with you.
No, but it's already been brought up in Bachelor Nation.
That's why I'm bringing it up.
And it's already gotten the what's, I didn't drink enough coffee today. I can't speak. There's already been backlash. Because it was Nick Viall, I think, that said that questioned his sexuality. And then now Nick Viall's in trouble for questioning his sexuality.
Yeah.
Because it's not our place to question his sexuality.
It's not. It's our place to ask whether the rest of Bachelor Nation has done so. And, you know, Bachelor at one point was trying to do a good job of representation, but now they're so obsessed with Colton in a bad way. And Demi is now, like, she's confirmed straight. So I feel like the Bachelor show is retroactively, like, queer baiting, because we're supposed to forget that Demi ever liked women, and everyone, it's okay to shit on Colton every episode since anyone ever has met him. So
do you think Chris is gay or not?
It's asked. No, that's not the, I wouldn't, that's not the point. The point is that he kept saying things like, man, I can't wait to kiss you. I can't wait to be together. And it's like, she's right there. Why won't you do it? I think that was the more like alarming thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I would say you originally asked, are we questioning his sexuality?
Well, I was asked whether Bachelor Nation is.
And people in Bachelor Nation are. There is certainly a lot of online commenting about it. I would say that since he has come on this show and explicitly shown interest in a woman, I will assume that he's straight. That's what he's selling us right now. You know what I mean? Like, in the same way that Demi previously had very clearly been talking about being bi, and that is not a thing we show on camera this season for some reason. We are now, you know, well, except for that that gross David Spade comment where he was like, are you going for the P or the V? And she's like, the P, yes. So it appears that, yeah, now we're supposed to just forget that Demi was bi, other than briefly mentioning it in this one moment, because she is only interested in dating men this season so far, from what we can tell.
Yeah, she doesn't seem interested at all in.
No, she is not.
Think she would make a comment somewhere.
Yeah,
you know?
You think she would say something if she was like interested in one of the women, that there would have been something either said to camera or like a flirty scene shown or something like that. And we haven't seen any of that yet, which who knows, maybe it'll happen later this season. But this is a very straight season of BIP so far. The Colton stuff is really fascinating to me because they keep on talking about him on camera. And he's obviously not on this season. So it's kind of weird that they keep on bringing him up.
In like a very rude, derogatory way. They're not saying things like, oh, that guy. They're just, they keep mentioning his sexuality. And it's like, leave the man alone.
It's very weird that they keep on making these jokes. I mean, like, Demi makes that joke about how the only thing worse than Tia's Gaydar is her jean shorts. And it's like, Demi, you also dated Colton. So your Gaydar is also bad. I don't know what you're trying to say with this comment. It makes no sense.
To be fair, those jean shorts were pretty bad.
The jean shorts were bad. I do agree on that. They were not a flattering look on her at all. But it was a very weird joke to make, both in being like, well, that's not the kind of culture that we are now. But also, if you're trying to insult Tia by saying she didn't understand the man she was dating was gay, you also dated that man. So,
I'm still confused here. Why did you bring this all up, EZR? What instigated you?
I was just curious because I saw I saw a few comments, and then I was like, I hadn't seen the episode yet. But then when I saw him, kind of, like, Craig, you're a man. If you're a man and you're honestly attracted to someone, why would you keep saying, oh, I'm so attracted to you, this is great. Like, I didn't even forget what he said, but it was so not attracted to her talk. And it was very strange. It was like, oh, you're so beautiful, I can't wait till kiss you. And you're like, she's right there. Do it
See?
Right now.
So you,
Do
it you're right questioning now. His sexuality.
No, I'm questioning his like for her. But then if everyone else is saying that too, I'm like, okay. That makes sense. There's something weird going on with this man.
But
he's
you
not
just
interested
said,
in
but
her.
Didn't we just agree that it's wrong to question someone's sexuality?
What are you trying to, like, I don't know if it's wrong to. No. I know that we can't accuse someone of something.
Right.
Like, you're gay. That's not okay. That's not what I'm saying. I'm
just
saying
trying to get
that.
To the bottom of this.
I thought it was really strange that he kept talking about her to her face like she wasn't there, because he wasn't, it seemed like he wasn't that interested in her. Or
Jasenia.
Yeah. Didn't it? Did you see that?
No, apparently not.
Yeah. I didn't really notice that per se, although I also might have been too distracted by how horrified I was at that double date in general. Just
the blowing.
Oh boy. Yeah, just. All right, so it's four people inside a large bed-type situation, and they're sitting right next to each other, even though the bed has enough space to be further apart. And, like, the men are blowing on all the body parts of the women, and they're, like, they can also be touching each other at the same time that they... I was just like, I feel extremely grossed out by this. I don't want to
I was very...
this.
Yeah, I was very, like, Caligula grossed out with the whole two episodes. Like, there were scenes of, like, just bodies amassed on top of each other. And when Kendall walked up, there was just a lot of people on one bed with... It was just, it goes a little far sometimes, like, in terms of feeling comfortable.
Well, that's all there is to do, is to lay on those beds. That there's no other activity.
Well, yeah, but it's
I think
very
Abigail,
hot out.
Yeah, and well,
so why do you want to be touching everyone if it's hot?
Yeah.
Right. Abigail, we don't even see Noah, people going in the pool this season.
Craig, prove that there's definitely a lot of day drinking going on, because that's a day drinking breakup. Like, what am I doing? They were so weird. Abigail and Noah. That was such a weird, there was no reason for that breakup.
Well, I don't like it Abigail. I'm not team Abigail. She is annoying me.
I know.
I know that you don't like Abigail. That breakup was interesting to me, because it did seem like it came out of nowhere, right? That, like,
well, Abigail has a great point though, which the other characters on the show have pointed out, like, her point is valid, and Noah makes no attempt to invalidate.
I disagree with you, Craig, that her point is valid, because her point, as she's saying to the other women, is that she feels like everyone else is basically doing PDA 24/7, right. And that she's like, why are we not doing PDA all the time? I can tell you why, Abigail. It's because on your date with Noah, you told him specifically you like
slow.
To go slow, that you do not like to do a lot of that kind of stuff publicly. So to me, like, well, if now you're feeling like, actually, I do want to be doing that, you could have just directly said that to Noah, to be like, I know before I said, you know, I like to take the physical stuff maybe a little slower and the relationship defining slower. But actually, now that we're here, I would like it if we did more of that. And instead, she doesn't say that. Instead, she goes up to him and is like, what do you think we're doing here in this situationship? And he's like,
Well, it's just funny how uninterested he is in having that conversation. He's totally tuned out.
But he's not. He's even if you say something and a man is interested in you, you'll still get something back. Like she was trying. I felt like she was just trying to test the waters and see if he could. Like if he was, she was trying to test to see if he was still interested in her, and he failed the test because they broke up, and she was like, "I regret doing that." And I think, when you're, it's kind of the same thing with the Natasha thing. I think people will do backbends to convince, like Lance Bass was doing like crazy, like maybe this, that, maybe it's this, to make Natasha feel like Brendan might be interested in you. And I think it's a disservice, you know?
Yeah.
That one line is from that one book, from that one show, from Sex and the City, he's not that into you, is so important. And I think that's true for Abigail, and I think that's definitely true for Natasha. And maybe even for Jacenya. Like, you know? I don't see it.
I feel like with the Noah and Abigail thing, yeah, I agree. She went at it in sort of this weird, it seemed like what she was trying to do was like float out a little boat that was not clear at all, because she didn't want to be clear. She wanted to like, also she might not even know how to be clear in communication on this kind of stuff. That's another issue. But she wanted to, I guess, to sort of float out this weird, like, how are you feeling about us? Assuming that like, he would be like, I love you, essentially, you know, like not exactly that, but like something very affirmation wise. And he was kind of like, huh, I didn't expect to even have this conversation. What's going on? Are you also like, are you not into me? Am I not into you? I don't even know anymore. You know, is what it seemed like it went like with the Natasha and Brendan situation. I do feel. I kind of liked Lance Bass as a host, but I did not like him in this scene. And I'm assuming that, you know, he was probably told to have this kind of conversation with her to like, because we're supposed to believe that Brendan and Natasha have something, even though we have eyes. We all know that they don't, right? Like, it is so obvious that he is not into her in every possible way. And it was obvious enough to the point that when they did that rose ceremony and she picks Brendan, Natasha even looked depressed and defeated as she was like, ah, fucking Brendan, I guess, you know, like, it didn't even seem like she wanted to choose him either. So I feel like it's a very, my take is obviously, as we all know, he's waiting for Piper and that Natasha is biding her time and probably knows that he's not into her, but is trying to like make something happen both for screen time and like a story arc, also potentially because the producers told her to, because as you know, she has a Bachelor podcast and is friends with the producers and all of that. So like, obviously
do you know
they want to keep
the
Brendan.
Podcast?
Oh, God, it's like trying to remember. It's something about chatting, like.
Oh, chatting with Natasha.
I'm blanking, but her co-host
like,
is Grocery Store Joe.
People. Yeah. Like
yeah.
A few people on it.
So
it's with Grocery Store Joe.
Yeah, Bachelor, her co-host.
D-listers. Yeah.
Yes.
But they're not D-listers. They're actually A-listers, but they were cut so early on that.
Wait, so you're saying Grocery Store Joe and Natasha have a podcast together?
And someone else. There's a third.
Wouldn't they be hanging out then? Wouldn't, not romantically, but wouldn't we see them hanging out as friends?
No, they're simply not discussing it.
Oh. They've been ordered not to talk about it?
There's a lot of ordering going around here.
Yeah, because you would think they speak to each other all the time for this podcast, so they are friendly, if not friends. It's called clickbait. That's what it's called.
Oh,
well, they definitely, like, they're definitely put together. There's
no
way
and,
these
two. Taysha
like,
used to
no,
be on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. There you go. There's no way that, you know, they did not organically create a podcast. It was... they put them there for it. Like,
yeah,
those...
but still, you become friends when you do a podcast, and so wouldn't
do
they hang
you?
Out?
Hey,
yeah,
friends
I would,
now.
Just kidding. I would hang out with you guys on the beach.
Talking to Craig.
I would.
Yeah,
hang out
I know.
With you.
Look, this whole thing where we're specifically taking apart how completely forced a lot of this stuff is. So it's just as, you know, they put them together as much as they tear people apart to like, don't, you know, what are you going to do? You can't hang out. We're only looking for these things. I'm sure they do.
Well, okay. Didn't she asked grocery store show for advice at one point, didn't she, Natasha? I think she did. Am I misremembering this?
Oh, did she?
Was it Brendan? No, it was, God, not Brendan. She asked some man for advice about Brendan, and I feel like it was grocery store Joe.
Yeah.
No, it was not. It was a different conversation, and I'm like totally, I think it was Joe. So that makes some sense at least then. But yeah, that the Natasha Brendan thing is very boring TV for me right now. Because you know what they're trying to make happen is, like, we have to believe that Natasha and Brendan are actually a couple so that we will be outraged on Natasha's behalf when Piper comes down. And so clearly, Brendan and Piper get together, as we all know that they will, because they have been together before and they are still together now. So you take a guess at what happened in between there.
but they're trying to set that up, except that Brendan is too scared to get near Natasha, and that's why he picked a safe pick. And Natasha is too like, hey, you know, I'm not going to force myself on a guy that clearly does not like me. And I got like one weird kiss out of him that's not good.
That kiss was so weird. It was just uncomfortable. Like,
yeah,
this is a weird, geez. I don't know, if the producers really wanted like an explosive Brendan betrays a woman to get with Piper when she comes on the beach, they should have forced him to stay with Demi.
Right.
Or with Serena, someone that he could actually possibly like. She seems like bubbly, kind of like the way Piper was, and, you know, obviously kind of irresistible to men in a way. But anyway, okay. I have to just... We have to say one more thing about Marissa, because since last week, I guess. See, and this is another thing that Caitlin needs to be our gauge for, because I'm on Instagram typically the night of.
Is this where you talk about how I'm vindicated?
No, you are not.
No, you're absolutely not vindicated, Craig.
The opposite.
Extremely the opposite.
Everyone is pissed that Marissa got slut-shamed. Right.
But I made it clear on this podcast that I was not making fun of her because she had sex on the first date. I was making fun of her because she seemed like she was having sex with the date and not the man. Big difference.
That's
but
kind of
you were wrong also, Craig, in that I think she is legitimately into Riley. Like, they do seem like they like each other. I don't think that she would have had sex with just any old person in that situation. As we pointed out at the time, she absolutely would not have gone to the Boom Boom Room with Connor B, because no one wants to go to the Boom Boom Room with Connor B.
Okay, well, also, she treated Connor B really horribly that next morning.
Are you serious?
She was lying by not saying what she was lying by omission.
So Bachelor Nation, the fans, are mad that Marissa got slut-shamed. But I'm mad for Marissa for using her to get that poor, sad Connor storyline out. And I think is the real transgression here. Because Marissa will be, you know, 2021, it's super okay, whatever. You want to have a one-night stand or
it's
whatever.
It's not okay how she treated Connor.
Yes, it is. Because that man is not there for a relationship.
So you're allowed to string someone along.
I'll tell you something I told you last week, Craig. Connor is not into her.
Doesn't matter. She straight up lied by omission to him. And that's wrong.
Does it really matter to lie by omission? You want to be saying that?
Cool.
Wait, what did I do?
I'm saying that everyone lies by omissions. Everyone's a hypocrite in the world. It's fine.
She could have said, hey, I had a great time with Riley last night, and I'm going to stick with him. Did. That's all she needs to say. No, she didn't.
She said the first part. She said, I had a great time with Riley last night.
And then he was like, and the Connor was like, oh, well, maybe we can go on a date tonight. And she's like, yeah, maybe.
See, that's where it bothers me. Connor knows that he's not going to get a date. Connor knows that he's not, that she's not interested in him. He's doing that to get more sympathy and more pity.
It doesn't matter what Connor's motivation is.
Craig.
It doesn't because she lied.
When is your kid's birthday? And then that's the day I was thinking about taking you on a cruise. Oh, you can't go because it's your kid's birthday? Ah, that sucks. Okay, well, next time. You see what she did? What he did? He's trying to set it up so that Steve... He's trying to make it sadder for himself.
He didn't know that they had gone to the Boom Boom Room at that point.
Yes, he did. The whole beach knew, but he didn't know. Yes, he did know.
All right, so what you're saying is it's okay to lie to somebody if that's what you're saying. No,
Connor is the one lying.
It doesn't excuse her lying. You're making an assumption that he is not into her and he's only doing this to get the puppy dog love story. I'm saying that that's irrelevant because she lied.
And I'm saying that when it comes to relationships, most everyone has to lie at some point to not be like, look, I'm not interested in you. I'm interested in this other man. So well,
she should have said that.
No, she shouldn't say that. No one is going to say that. That is not polite society. She's trying to be nice. And I think that.
No, you literally just said it's okay to lie. All right.
I think you're the one who taught me that it's okay to lie. You're the one who taught me that it's totally okay to lie when it comes to relationships. Let them out down easy, to be nice and to kind of be present. But what I don't think is okay is to milk things to make yourself look more sympathetic on TV for a music career. I think that's more established.
Okay.
Right? So
yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I see your point, but I just that doesn't help me get on Marissa's side. That's all.
I'm in the middle of you two here, I would say, in terms of that conversation. So the next morning, I do feel like she was trying to not explicitly say the thing that everybody on the beach knew and all the viewers knew at that point, right? Which is that she doesn't want to be with him at all.
Right.
And while that is common to do in the real world, I do feel like on Bachelor in Paradise, it would make more sense. She doesn't have to be explicit. She could still let him down easy, but just be like, yeah, I had such a great time on that date. And, you know, honestly, I'm just feeling Riley more at this point. End of story. You know, like,
right.
That's kind of it.
How much you want to bet, like, 90% of the people on this beach upright ghost people, which I think is way worse.
Oh, I mean, but they absolutely do. But on TV, yeah. I feel like, you know, the rules are a little more established that you should, break up with somebody, basically, right?
So in now easier, world, you're saying it's okay to lie as long as it's not as bad of a lie as other people.
So I feel like if this was happening not on TV, not on Bachelor in Paradise, well, she wouldn't be dating him to begin with if it wasn't on Bachelor in Paradise, because, I mean, I think from what we've seen, I don't think she ever really liked Connor, and I don't think that Connor was super into her either. I think he was like, here's a woman who's shown a little bit of interest. Excellent. You know what I mean? Like, he was like, a woman who is willing to speak to me and kiss me? Sure. I'm down for that. You know what I mean? I don't think he was, like, in love with her or anything like that. But in that situation...
You never know. With the way they toss around the word love on these shows.
Yes, that's true. In that situation, like, she could have been a little bit more direct, and it would have been the more polite thing to do. On the other hand, we don't know for a fact how that conversation was cut or not cut, because we know that the producers want to sell us brokenhearted Connor as like a main storyline, because for some reason they are in love with this man, the producers. Mm-hmm. They like right. are obsessed with Connor. They wanted to have, like, if he's going to leave, and you know he was going to leave at some point in these first early episodes, because this man is simply never going to find a connection on TV like this. It's not going to mm-hmm. happen for him. But they wanted us to have a storyline in which you feel bad for him as the jilted party. Yet again, he's crying in a limo saying, you know, how could this happen? Like, why enough. Am I not worthy of love? Like, that kind of stuff. And the fans ate it up. Bachelor Nation, for the most part, loves Connor and thinks that, you know, he's a good man.
That's true.
Deserves the world. And I'm like, I do not love Connor. I do not think he deserves the world. I do not think he is necessarily a good man. He absolutely is on this show to show off his music. But the fans, the fan base as a whole, likes Connor.
Yeah, our friend of the pod, Jay in LA, he really likes Connor and actually called us out on Twitter for not liking Connor.
Did you see that Lance Bass himself said that Connor was basically boiled it down to said that Connor's only there for his music career, does not care about any of the women on the island, mm-hmm. doesn't care about finding love.
When did he say that?
He said that on an interview. I just saw the clip of him saying that
several times on interviews, actually, now. So he said it on Nick Viall's podcast, and he said it on the Will You Accept This Rose podcast, essentially that.
Did he say it on the Bachelor Masters podcast?
No, but we'd love to have him say it on here if he wants to, right?
But how important is that? You know, there is no... He's way more famous than he doesn't have anything to gain from telling the truth,
right?
And he chose to. So I think, and then of course Connor had to defend himself in a tweet, and I like, so the tweet read something like, what, I'm just a cute little boy singing my songs, who am I hurting? Fuck everyone who thinks that what I'm doing is not good, because kindness is free. Like, dumb shit, right? Like, blah, blah, blah. So, Trey...
He has now tweeted the phrase, kindness is free, like, 50 times, by the way.
Oh, my God. Trey defending Connor, honestly, to me, is like, I can't trust any of these people to, like... I'm going to defend, you know, he's defending the wolves, defending the foxes against the, you know, you can't trust any of them. They're all in there for a career. So, of course, they're going to defend Connor. Connor defends Greg. You know, there's no end to how, there's no, like, bottom to this pool of how hard you can dig. You know, they're always going to look for, well, how can we make sure we all stay on top and have this prevailing narrative above all that we're there for love, but we're also getting famous and this and this and right there. They're becoming D-list celebrities.
Yeah.
There you go,
I mean,
Jay-Nelly. That's our response.
What bothers me about this kind of thing, right, is so Katie's men on the beach, you know, we see they still despise Thomas. They think Thomas is the worst person ever. All of these same men who are saying that they hate Thomas and Thomas is horrible and how dare he show his face here. What a terrible human for the crime of stealing Katie away from them in certain times and for admitting that he wanted to be the bachelor. Those are his crimes, right? But they are all friends with Greg and they defend Greg, who did much worse things to Katie on TV than Thomas did.
Oh, yeah. It's the same thing as people defending Jed and not defending Luke. You know, he just wasn't in the crowd. He just wasn't in their in crowd. That's all it is. And with Thomas, he's too good looking. Like that, they are, like your mom said, they're super jealous of him. They are. He is just like, oh, no, he's scary to them. And honestly, Tammy... I know you want to go into this,
are
Craig.
Are we moving
but
on to Tammy now?
No, I just, well, it's only because we mentioned Thomas, but we can talk, you can
am I vindicated here as well?
Nope. She picked the hottest guy, and I say, hell yes, Tammy, I don't care.
The way she treated Aaron, though, was
you hate
horrible.
Aaron. You hate Aaron.
But she still treated him poorly. This is the same argument. Just because Aaron is a bad person doesn't mean he deserves to be treated poorly.
This is Aaron, by the way.
Last night, Riley and Marissa were in the Boom Boom Room. Don't know what happens in there because I've never been in there, but super secret things, I assume.
I honestly laughed so hard at that. Like, I laughed so hard because you don't know what happens in there. Yeah, honestly, like,
they're obviously exchanging they're obviously exchanging, like, what are you talking about? Like, what is
this? Yeah, what
saying?
A weird. I totally get my Tammy vibed with Aaron because he's goofy in a way that is kind of appealing, right? He's kind of funny too. I don't know if he even intends to be as funny as he is. I have a mild soft spot for Aaron because of how goofy and funny he can be. I do. Again, I'm in the middle of the two of you, which I guess is my role on this podcast. In that situation, that I don't disagree that, like, you know, Tammy has the right to choose whoever. Like, they're not exclusive. They have not established rules around anything like that. They haven't really had a conversation that we've seen with her and Aaron where they explicitly say, like, you wouldn't go on dates with somebody else. You wouldn't be open to somebody else, whatever. But to do that in direct view of him is...
Yeah. Yes,
I think it would make more sense. If she wants to go make out and straddle Thomas, go ahead and do that in, like, one of the palapas where they're not right there. I feel like, I think that she was also being egged on by the producers to do it in view of Aaron, because the producers, either they hate Aaron or they just love making him mad on TV because they think it's good for TV, because we know for a fact, based on previews, that Becca is going to end up making out with Thomas at some point, which means that again, Thomas is going to steal a woman from Aaron. Aaron is currently sort of with Becca, right? This is exactly what they want to happen, is they wanted Becca to give Aaron the rose and have them seem to be like a budding thing. So that specifically, again, there could be an Aaron-Thomas some person love triangle because they love the Aaron-Thomas rivalry.
But they're trying to bring back the Josh Murray dynamic where they have one hunk, but he's an evil hunk. And he comes around and he steals everyone right when they're getting to the good part because he's just like that horrible, mean. But really, the truth about it is that he's that good looking, right? Because
Thomas does not help his case by having that villainous facial hair is all I can say about that.
You know, like, I know now that what the producers are doing is exactly what, you know, they look like what you're supposed to. You root for someone like Demi because she's like, oh, you know, maybe she would be one of the bad guys, except she tells it like it is. Like, that's I hate that. Everyone that they're trying to make good, I think are not good. And everyone they try to make a villain, I'm like, what's wrong with that guy? So I don't know. I have I know that me and the producers are like polar opposites on so much of this. So go ahead, Craig.
Back to Tammy being an awful person. Yeah. But there's not much else to say. You guys have proved my point.
Saying, so you're like Trey in this situation where he calls her a trash bag, which is over the top, in my opinion.
Straddled.
What is the point? This is not okay. You're acting like an engaged couple, Aaron and Tammy, walk into a club. And all of a sudden, his fiance is standing in the corner making out with another man. That's not what happened. They're in paradise. That's the point.
Like, I agree with you that doing it directly, like on the daybed, like 10 feet away or whatever from where Aaron was sitting, is a rude move.
I think
that's rude to do. I don't think it makes her a terrible person.
Well, she already was a terrible person. This doesn't alleviate.
I do not think that Tammy has ever been a terrible person. I think that she could have been nicer and more considerate to Aaron in this situation.
Oh, and then when they're arguing, when Aaron and Thomas are down on the beach arguing, she's like acting like she didn't know they were going to argue. She's like, I have to deal with this. It's like, you got to deal with this. You started it.
I mean, Thomas isn't supposed to look for a rose? Is he supposed to go off into the night?
He's got to look somewhere, and Tammy was open to it, obviously, as we can see.
She should have talked to Aaron first and let him down.
Yeah, it's more the polite thing to be like, I'm open to possibilities. Of course, you know that conversation would not have gone well if she had specifically said, you know, I'm open to other people, such as Thomas, your arch nemesis.
I'm not letting Aaron off the hook here. He would have broed her out.
He would have, he would have freaked out on her. However, the fact that she seemed shocked, like, she has the conversation with Aaron afterwards, where she's like, I'm still trying to figure this out. And I was like, girl, if you make out with his arch rival directly in his eye line, you are not still trying to figure things out.
Right.
You have chosen the one that you want to be with, because at that point, you know that there's no way that Aaron's not going to be, like, so pissed and all over the place about it, because his hatred of Thomas is so well established, even to people who haven't seen the season. People who are just on the beach know that, like, he is obsessed with Thomas.
Yes, obsessed more than anything else.
Absolutely obsessed, right? So, like, which is funny, too, because when they were arguing, you can see that Aaron is maybe 1 inch shorter than Thomas, and you know that 1 inch kills him. You know, that, like, he's just so upset that Thomas gets to claim the largest man on the beach status. Also, I did laugh at Aaron's insults for when he is insulting Thomas are honestly pretty funny. he calls him, like, a, what was it, like, a big boy trash can, I think, at one point. And I was like, that's pretty funny, because you're acknowledging that he's just a very large human in that statement.
Okay, so all I know, what I'm taking away from this podcast is that I'm 2 for 2 and being vindicated.
Vindicated by who? By the show? Okay, fine. Let's move on. Look, and I'll tell you why we're moving on. Because I think that the same issue with the Tammy, Aaron, Thomas thing, and them strategically, not on them, but on the producers, being right in front of Aaron is definitely, you know, that they got these perfect guys to that are easy to rile up and will explode on camera. I think their only problem with Trey, Aaron, and whoever else is in that group is that they don't drink enough. I think that we'd have a lot better TV if they did. The Mari, Kenny, Demi thing, I think also had producer fingerprints all over it, right? It had producer, like, headlocks all over it. So what we were supposed to interpret is that Mari, out of nowhere, said, I might be interested in dating other men because that's what paradise is for. Well, and Kenny
it's
goes.
Clear, she thought somebody was going to come down the stairs that she had previously said
that's
she was going to hook up with.
That's what we're supposed to interpret, or, like, bend our minds into thinking, because the producers want us to think that. But that was definitely a poked, please do this type conversation, right? We'll give you such and such when if you do this. And then Kenny, you know, now I'm single. I don't know what to do. And then another, you know, and then Demi out of nowhere goes, oh, yeah, Kenny, I've always been interested in. Goes up to him and then they start making out. Now, all of that. I
love Tia. Is her name Tia? Yeah.
Yeah, we're not there yet, Craig. Yeah, I think we should get into all the other
stuff.
I'm
annoyed
before
Tia by
Tia,
like, generally, but when she yells out, did you F her? That's so funny.
Yeah, I think we're saving Tia until we finish talking about the beginning of the triangle that turns into, like, a square later on.
Well,
but,
yeah, well, it's more like Mari gets replaced by Tia.
We will see, because the previews suggest that
Mari's going to circle back around.
Yeah. Whoa.
She's trying to get back on in there.
The whole, you know, the whole cast on the beach is blaming Mari again for so-called hypocrisy. You broke up with him and now you're mad? Yes. Like, how is this crazy to people? Everyone does this all the time. I think that this is super not fair, because it makes Mari look wrong. And it's the same thing with what we said earlier, now twice, right? Like, oh, Marissa's a, or who is it? Just, these people are hypocrites. And it's like, Craig, you're the one who told me this a long time ago, like hypocrisy is like not a big deal.
Right. Well, I just don't like using the word. Because there's hypocrisies everywhere, no matter where you look. So it's ubiquitous. So pointing it out doesn't serve any purpose.
So this is my favorite storyline of this episode, right? Well, the first one especially. Monday night's episode. Absolutely loved the Mari, Kenny, Demi storyline. I got a lot of enjoyment out of this storyline. I think... So I don't know how much intervention there was in the original. We see Mari is telling Demi at one point that she says, you know, she's been pulled by every single man who's come onto the beach. They all want to chat to Mari. So I do think she had a bit of an ego that, like, she would have so many options if she chose the options open situation, that she felt like she would be able to have many.
Well, isn't she a beauty queen?
Yes. I do think she's
used to being in the spotlight.
The impression that, like, she would be asked on dates all the time if she was open to it. You know, like, I think that she did have that feeling that, like, because all these men had talked to her, and I guess, you know, they don't pull every single woman always, and she had always gotten pulled or whatever. So she felt like she was hot shit on the beach, and that, you know, she would be able to date anyone. And that apparently a conversation we did not see on screen, but that she and Kenny had talked at some point in the previous week or so to say that they would not go on dates with other people if they were asked, that they were pretty much exclusive at this point, right? And then she decides, is it Chasen, the one that she's, like, into, or is it Chris? I think it's Chasen, right? That she's like, I would go on a date. Yeah, she says she would go on a date with one of those two smoke bros. And I'm forgetting which one it is. I think it was Chasen. Being like, yeah, I'd go if he asked me, even though, you know, Kenny and I said we wouldn't go on dates. So I guess now I should, you know, now that I'm thinking about going on a date with this guy who didn't end up choosing her anyway. So it's sort of a moot point on that front. But has the conversation with Kenny that was unclear in terms of, in her mind, as she says later, what she thinks happened in this conversation is that she wanted to do, you know, options are open to go on dates with other people, but somehow her options are open, his are not necessarily open. In her mind, she saw some distinction between going on a date and then making out with somebody on a date in a separate location versus making out with somebody on the beach. Those are different things to Mari, I guess, in how she reacted. The conversation we saw, I absolutely read as, like, well, if she wants to, I read it the way that Kenny appears to have read it, right? Which is, if she wants to go on dates with other people, that means our agreement to be exclusive is obviously off. So I'm a single man.
So bring me Demi.
Yes. So bring me Demi, who absolutely will go to the Boom Boom Room.
Which I love.
I'm glad you. Well, here's the thing, Craig. Kenny is 40. Yeah. And I thought it was really mature. And it kind of seems the way he gets out of it, like, there's a lot of maturity there, but then there's also a lot of Craig there. So it's
hey.
I know what it's like to have good things and not commit to them, and then they go away, they're
very
gone
mature.
And then you regret it. It's sad to me because maybe she did feel the way I felt, and now it became too, like, toxic, and it needs to, like, go away. And I just think the healthy thing to do is, like, just let's be done.
I thought he knew it was important to kind of cut it off with Mari, and I thought that was interesting. I don't think the solution to kill things when there are any problems is, like, healthy, but there is a maturity level there where he's saying, you know, she was being immature and that shows me something. And so now we really can't continue.
Well, why'd you bring
but
me
on
up?
The
what did I do?
Craig side of this, he also used that because he had a chance to have sex with Demi. So it was a win-win.
Right. So.
Exactly.
The right thing, then.
Actually, I get what you're saying here, EZR. I feel like Kenny is the idealized version of Craig, right? That, like, Craig, if you were on reality TV, wouldn't you want to be Kenny?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's 40 years old, but he looks absolutely great for his age. He has, like, rock solid body. He has multiple women vying for his attention, which is very funny. Like, Demi at one point refers to him as the hottest guy on the beach, and I'm like, he is not who I would have picked as the hottest guy on the beach, but you can't lie with the results that men and women are flirting with him and vying to date him. So he's got something happening there that people are very into.
He's using all those good reasons but he's also kind of has this, you know, self-interest that I think is understandable. Just like Tammy.
What's the problem?
Exactly. Just like Tammy. That's your problem. That's the problem you find with
But it. He made sure that things were wrapped up with Mari before he went to Demi, which is not what Tammy did.
Yeah.
Well, I will devil's advocate here. I do think he wrapped things up with Mari. Mari apparently feels he did not. She was confused about that, which is interesting.
That's
like,
true.
The whole thing is wild to me because it's like, okay, you had the conversation about you going on dates with other people, yet you seem incredibly confused that Kenny's interpretation was the one that everyone else listening to this conversation had, which was that you're no longer an item and it's over.
And is, you know, Victoria P last week had this whole, this is what I'm going to use in therapy because no one can, you know, top this. Kenny has that in real life. Like, he has actual inner peace about things. But Mari did kind of catch him in a lot of things because he didn't know quite how to explain himself. Like, at one point, she goes, "You're confused about what I said." And he goes, "You're confused." And she says, "I'm confused about what I said." And he's like, "No, wait,
you can't misunderstand what I can't misunderstand what I said."
I meant, right? Yeah.
So I mean, honestly, I do think she can misunderstand what she said.
Well,
right?
That's what Kenny said. Yeah,
I'm on Kenny's side in this argument because what I heard was, you know, she wants to go on dates with other people, which invalidates their exclusivity earlier conversation. Because obviously, if you're going on dates with other people, it means you're not exclusive to each other, right? And so Kenny hears that and says, "Look, we're not exclusive. I'm open for business, and ladies are interested." And apparently what Mari meant that was a deeper meaning than what we heard expressed is that she wanted to go on dates with other people. She does not want Kenny to be making out with people on the beach.
Oh, see, no. There's an operative word there. She said, and what I understood, and maybe it's not what she said, but she is open to going on dates with other people.
Ooh.
Which to me was, yes, that is a fair, you know, asterisk. So I kind of like, of course I can see both sides. Of course, you know, Demi's there to be a pot stirrer, like, you know, even her little picture, the little like real thing she has. That's the whole thing. She's supposed to make things crazy. But it wasn't fair to, I think Demi is the evil player here, and Kenny and Mari are just like pawns.
See, there we go. So I'm vindicated for a third time.
What's the vindication?
Because Kenny, who you've compared to me, is doing the right things here. So that means I'm right in who I am.
They're both. I think Mari is right too.
I don't think that Kenny did anything wrong in his actions in episode one of this week, in that being open to going on dates does mean that Kenny can also be open, right? Like, there's no way you can have an agreement in which one party is open to the possibility, but the other party is not, because that's just not like how a reasonable dating situation works. So he is right in his interpretation of that being like that means I can now explore stuff with other people if we're open to those possibilities. I do think that it was extremely funny that, like, well, there's a lot of funniness involved in all of this to me. That first of all, Mari felt betrayed by Demi because I guess they're friends, even though we have not seen a lot of specific evidence to that. Right. But Mari was like, when your friend, you know, when Tia does come in And Demi's like, well, this sucks. And she's like, well, at least you weren't friends beforehand.
And it's yeah.
Like, clearly, like, you know, she is loving the karmic action that's happening there. So apparently they were friends. And that is a more rude thing to do if you are friends.
Well, that like, friendship's over.
Friendship is clearly over there. But the whole, the cake situation, I absolutely loved. The cake was beautiful to me. But, you know, like, Demi sets up this thing with producers. Kenny turned 40 in quarantine, so he didn't celebrate really in any way. And so they have a cake, and she sets up a, you know, pinata full of condoms and a banner and stuff. And she brings down the cake, and she hands it to, like, what was it, like, Brendan or Trey or somebody on the beach? She hands it to some guy. And Mari immediately takes the cake. You knew exactly what was going to happen. And this is a quick mom minute sideline without an audio clip, because my mom did not watch the episodes this week, but I did describe this scene to her. And when I said that, you know, Demi had the cake, she goes, and Mari threw it in the fire. And I was like, how did you know that was going to happen, Mom? And she was like, it's exactly what I would have done.
Ooh, your mom's a hothead.
She absolutely is a hothead. That is true. So,
and then Riley was like, hey, man, I wanted that cake.
Yes. Riley was so
I wanted
funny
that cake, too.
In that moment. Like I identified with Riley so much. Yeah. And then in the after post clip, too, he was like, what kind of cake was it? I want to know how mad I should have been.
Right.
I know. Well, beautiful the thing moment. Is, a beauty queen is not gonna care about a cake and deliciousness. Because she's it's better for her to throw it in the fire, whereas... You know, Riley, who needs his calories, and me, who loves chocolate-covered cake. I'm like, what? What just happened? Why would you do that to perfectly good, delicious food?
Yeah, a wasted cake is no big deal to Mari, because you know she's got to be on a diet because of her beauty queen background. And Riley, while extremely fit and cut, because he does work out so much, you know, he probably does enjoy some sweets now and again, and very much wanted that cake. And a lot of the men wanted that cake, actually. They did. They were specifically like, oh, no, I did want that. You know, so it is very funny that, like,
it's someone was, like, ordering six eggs in the morning.
Yes, like ordering six eggs. I loved even the buildup to, you know, Demi hands off the cake to random dude. Mari grabs the cake. She doesn't throw it in the fire immediately. She wanders around the beach aimlessly for a period of time with
maybe
the cake.
Maybe she's going to throw it in Demi's face.
I think she was going to look for them, but maybe she never found them or something.
Yeah, it was weird that she took the cake that way and then came back. And
she's like walking around with it for a while. She's like circling the beach with the cake and then is like, it's going in the fire after circling it for a while, which made it funnier to me that, like, you know, she must have been having a mental thought process about, like, I'm going to destroy this cake. How am I going to destroy the cake? Should I throw it in her face? Where is she? What's going on? And then eventually settled on the fire as, like, the way to do it.
Well, what's going on is that Demi is giving condoms out of
Every time I heard her little laugh, I just was like, oh, Jesus. I can tell what kind of older woman she's going to be. She's just going to be one of these, like, raunchy. I mean, it's fine, but it's also, she is such a bad friend. Like, whatever. You know, I have something to say about
Demi, and you absolutely knew that she was like, she's going to break up somebody. And this was a perfect place to do that. Because Kenny's got a nice body and he seems fun. And you know he's going to be down to have sex with you, so you just go for it.
He's DTF.
He's the most DTF of any person on that beach.
Yeah, I love the way Demi keeps saying, like, I'm so fun, I'm so fun. Like, she's just forcing it on people. And everyone said, oh, I'm scared of her. She's so fun. She's scared. And it's not like a scared of how fun she is. It's a scared of how, like, volatile she is. So I have something to say about this whole, you said it too right now, Caitlin, which is good that you said it. Cause I'm like, you know, Demi, she has that thing. I don't remember exactly what you just said, but she said something like, you know, everyone at home is supposed to believe that, look, Demi may be, a horrible friend, a vile person, but she certainly does, you know, make things interesting and you know who she is. So that's part of the package. And I really hate that because I feel like the whole problem with the season and a lot of other Bachelor in Paradise seasons is that we're supposed to have the good guys and someone like Demi who's okay. And then we're supposed to have this huge range of people we're supposed to hate. Everyone Craig hates. We're supposed to hate Tammy. We're supposed to hate Tammy. We're supposed to not like Mari. We're supposed to kind of, who else? Like Marissa. I mean, kind of back and forth. And I am really frustrated with that because Demi, Joe, Connor, all of them, Trey, just project on everyone else. And here's two things. That first, Joe talking about Tammy.
Tammy clearly doesn't want to be happy. I mean, she really just tries to put herself in bad situations.
Is he talking about Tammy or him? Are you seriously trying to convince me that Tammy is the one who's it's just like, it's mind blowing to me how much the producers do the up is down thing. And we're like, And here's Demi also describing Tammy and not herself.
I think that she kind of likes the attention of two guys fighting over her. She does these things because she likes to stir up. She likes to be a bitch. She likes to be malicious.
Are you talking about yourself? I am blown away with how, you know, the Bachelor Nation kind of eats this shit up. And Joe's great. Demi's fine. Connor's great. Trey is great. It's amazing. Isn't it amazing?
It is hilarious to me. I mean, especially Demi. Everything she says is exactly what Demi is known for doing and is doing right now. Right? And that, like, her whole thing, literally, as you mentioned, the reel at the beginning in the intro is her stirring a pot. She says that's what she's there to do. And she loves multiple people fighting over her. That is exactly her to a T. And the Joe one is very funny to me, too, because, yes, well, obviously, making out with Thomas in view of Aaron is going to cause a storm that you will be at the center at, right? I don't think that's necessarily Tammy choosing to be unhappy, right? Like, that's kind of a weird interpretation. It's like, you could say she was confused, or she didn't know how to handle a situation, or like she wanted two guys at the same time, or whatever else. That doesn't necessarily equate to unhappiness to me. Whereas Joe is famous for being the sad sack on the beach and being literally the sad guy.
Oh my God.
Paradise.
Joe, when he was speaking, like my brain simultaneously fell asleep with my eyes open, but at the same time, it sets off huge red flags. So we don't have to listen to this whole thing, but goddamn, is he boring?
Don't age me right now. If I'm not gonna meet someone, I just don't need to be here. And it kind of took me back to the last time, and then I thought, do I want to go through all this again, or do I want to just leave? Yeah.
This guy, what you just heard, that's what everyone is in love with. Why? Explain, Craig. Explain, Caitlin. Explain.
I can't.
Why is everyone in love with this guy?
The theory I have is he does have a handsome face. So obviously,
he has like a punched face. Like he looks like he's been, he looks like an ex, you know, I guess he's the definition of rugged, but it's a little bit passe.
Well, you know, as we all know, being found attractive lets you get away with anything. So that's one factor, right? Is that people think he's cute. He's got a good face. So that gives you something to work with. One. Two, everyone loves a like heartbreak storyline. And Joe being so sad because he's in the place where he met Kendall, that gets you the sympathy, right?
He was like that the first time around.
Yes.
With no breakup story.
He's just a sad guy in general, but people like that. I mean, that's why a lot of Bachelor Nation likes Connor, right? He's a sad guy. He's sad boy. That's one of his storylines, too. So
he says it himself, too. That's the crazy
part. Yeah, I mean, that's the, you know, and he says he's like the, he's going to go back to his usual role of being the douchebag with the guitar at the party. And it was like, oh, Connor. If you know that's who you are, can't you change it about yourself?
Imagine if someone introduced themselves like, I'm the brooding, you know, depressive type who if you can try to bring out the sunshine in me, then you must be a special woman. Like, that is so cliche. And like, you're not supposed to know if that's so that means that's not you. Right. You're creating a persona.
Yeah, it's a so I feel like that's a similar thing in terms of like. People like the narrative arc of sad guy finds happiness. Mm-hmm. So that's a factor. I think people also really like rooting for Serena because she's cute and she seems like a nice person. And so, like, you know, you get them coupled up and then you're naturally going to be rooting to be like, well, you know, obviously Serena seems nice. You want her to be happy. Sad Joe needs somebody to make him happy. And now I guess they're going to do that together. So mm-hmm. that's good.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, Joe, Jesus. Anyway, I just we have another season of horrible people being the good guy and human people being the bad guys. So it's frustrating to watch again. Craig, mm-hmm. since you're defending the horrible people as good and the average people as, you know, average people who, yes, make mistakes as these, like, irredeemable, like, despicable souls is...
Yes.
Just insane.
They are all irredeemable.
Well, maybe if we take them all, yeah. I am so glad Deandra did not trust Chasen, because if there's two people...
That was Chasen, a twist. That actually made me...
I don't think, like, it...
perk up out of my slumber on the couch when I saw that.
I like that she didn't trust him just the same way. I don't know if you remember also from Tayshia's season, the guy named Spencer. Chasen and Spencer have kind of the same air of they were trying to play this. You know, I know who would definitely go for this hot dude, me, and who wouldn't mind leaving. And they, because they consider, I feel like they consider Tayshia and Deandra kind of below them. So they think that that would be a good play. I felt like that was the reason that Spencer did it with Tayshia and that Chasen did it with Deandra. But
which
I'm
is bonkers because both of those women are so much hotter than those men.
No, this is I mean, maybe in some like vacuum, but this is a social status race thing. And I don't understand who.
I know, like, what you're
that's
saying.
Not like,
but like on
like
the face of it, just looking at their physicalities, I'm like, oh, Deandra is out of Chasen's league. She was obviously out of Carl's league. We can all agree on that. But like, I do also love that she did not choose Chasen after he gave her that hideous necklace. And Carl was right about Chasen being a Mr. One Upper Pants or whatever he called him, right? That like Chasen so obviously gave that necklace specifically because Carl gave the bracelet and like was just trying to be like, I too can give jewelry and that's cool. Like, and it's like, yeah, but you didn't need to do that at all. And in fact, that was probably a huge turnoff for her that like you met her that day. Carl's doing it clearly because he knows that he's on the back foot and he's trying to get back to the front of the pack, but Chasen was in the lead at that point. All the he didn't need to like go and give this tacky necklace and yet chose to do it anyway. And yeah, I fully loved that she was just like, I'm just gonna choose Ivan because like he needs a rose to stay here anyway and Chasen sucks, so I don't need to do that.
Yeah. Fun stuff.
Anything, I mean, anyone else we need to talk about?
Well, we do need to get to Tia.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Tia. Right.
Yeah.
There's so many people here.
Yeah, that was fun. I have no previous interactions with knowing about Tia because I didn't watch any of the seasons that she's been on before.
Oh, right. So for a recap, she was on Ari's season. Colton tweeted that he liked her. And so she was going to be this is before Colton was famous. She was going to be the Bachelorette. But then Ari spurned Becca so bad by going back on his choice of choosing her that Tia was no longer the Bachelorette. And then it was Becca and then Tia and then Colton and Tia. So then Colton accidentally went on Becca's season. Was like, oh, whoops, now I'm here. And so then Colton and Tia both went on Bachelor in Paradise. And Colton was like, wait, I'm going to be the Bachelor. So bye, Tia. And that's, I think, the last time we saw her.
Okay. Yeah, they did show a little clip of her and, like, Colton breaking up in Paradise and her crying. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know much else about her background. I did enjoy her folksy southernness. In general, I do find that fun.
I thought that was a total, you call it like almost, I can't think of the word, but it had a lot of nuances of criticism of everything. I kind of like a, I don't know.
Like, don't wear your mask. Don't get the jab kind of thing.
No. Like they were on. Okay. So the things that happened was that they were on a nude beach in Mexico and they were kind of critical of everything around them. And I felt like Tia had that Southern critical, like bless your heart thing going. And it might've just been the accent, but it was a very rude, like I felt like she was being out, like downright rude about it.
Well, somebody tweeted, like, what is Tia's Bible study? Think of her being topless on a beach.
Yeah, that was kind of funny that she explicitly brought up that her parents and her Bible study watch this show. But yeah, was still down to do topless volleyball. Right. That whole date was such an interesting encounter. And that you know for sure, like, obviously, they were like, Kenny is on the date with Tia. It's nude volleyball time. But the way they introduced the date is like a couple of drifters roaming across the beach with a German shepherd. Hey, do you want to play volleyball with us? And I was like, what the hell? Like, what a weird date setup. And then, of course, you know, it's like, what's the catch? The catch is, of course, we will be nude. And then they have this long conversation about it. And I guess Tia has not been privy to the fact that, of course, Kenny is completely fine with nudity and everyone has seen most of his body before on this show.
Right.
So obviously he's not going to have a problem with doing nude volleyball.
I wonder how he dealt with shrinkage.
You know, that's an interesting thing, but he wasn't in the water, right? Like they were on the beach.
Yeah, but still, it goes both ways. If it's like 100 degrees and humid, then I imagine he would also have shrinkage.
I didn't know about that. Kind of
sure he's fine. Everyone's commented that he's above that.
It shrinks, yeah. But it shrinks if the conditions aren't great. It shrinks.
Well, his shrinkage is probably like normal. That's what they kind of made us believe.
People keep on commenting on the size of what he's holding down there. It keeps on coming up. So you must assume.
Craig's like, let's not talk about this anymore.
It's not a.
Hey, no, it's fine. I'm comfortable with my size.
But yeah, okay. I do get what you're saying. Like the parts I did not like about this date, like I do feel like Tia and Kenny seemed like they would have a fun time together, right? But I did not like how often she would make comments about, you know, it was like not just the, like to me, I was like, yeah, sure, make a comment about how weird it is to be playing nude volleyball with total strangers. That is weird. So that makes sense. And there is the factor, of course, of your boobs like flapping around as you're hitting the volleyball and that being weird and uncomfortable. But the way she talked about the other people's bodies, you know, where she was just like, Kenny can't stop looking at the man with the tree tattoo above his dick. And like, is he gay like Colton was the subtext. And I was like, why is that even a funny joke? Of course, first of all, that is a funny tattoo to have right above your pubic area. Just like a tree growing out of it is objectively a pretty funny tattoo to get there. So of course you're going to look at it. And of course, they're fully nude. You're going to take a glance, you know? So I don't see why Kenny being like, that's a fun tattoo, is somehow a good place to make like a gay baiting joke, you know?
Right.
She, well, I felt like it was more like a, she kind of had a, like we're speaking here in this corner about them and they don't speak as much English. Like it just felt very, it just didn't, like if this was a Florida Bama, what was that show, Craig? That Florida Bama show?
Florida Bama Shore.
Yeah. And then they had some volleyball situation and she couldn't really, you know, the way she was talking was very mean girl, like kind of like, oh, like kind of grossed out by them, kind of annoyed. But also kind of embarrassed. I don't know. I just didn't like it. Just there's a lot there whenever they mix with the locals. It's always very rude. And it happens in every country they go. It happens when they go to Hawaii. And it happens when they go, if they ever go to Alaska. Like, it will happen every time. But Tia is one of those people that really exacerbates it. There's plenty of Bachelor Nation contestants or whatever that are a little bit more respectful or try their best to be, to do something nice, but to be in the situation and be comfortable with it. But a lot of them are like Tia.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got the vibe from, I mean, just this small amount of Tia that I have experienced now, that Tia is not a nice person. She might be fun, but she's not nice.
Right. Yeah that's a good read. What? You said
you were trying to think about something.
You were trying to think of something.
No. Did I? No.
Yeah, you said out loud, I'm trying to think.
Oh, sorry. I was trying to think of, like, back on Tia and how she has come across in those, I guess, two seasons.
And don't forget about her best friend, Raven.
Yeah, that's exactly who I was thinking of. Every time I had one of them in my head, I had the other one in my head. Who Craig loves.
I don't like Raven. I know. No, not at all.
Craig hates her.
I know. She can't pick the right makeup color.
She can't do her makeup. She's like dead behind the eyes to Craig. I forget what else. I don't mind her. That's right. Remember Craig on their Bachelor in Paradise? Raven, Tia, and a few of those other women. And maybe, I don't remember who else was there. Definitely had this really rude, like, in crowd of women, and when other women would come down, like you're not part of us. That was definitely a Tia thing. So yes,
that's
what I was trying to remember.
Yeah.
Anyways, thing that was interesting. So, you know, Jocelyn, our podcast super fan, texted me a question about something that Tia said, and she wanted to know if I had any context on it as a person who has lived in the South before. I spent many years of my life living in the South as an adult. And she was like, is the phrase China pot a Southern euphemism for vagina? And I was like, I've literally never heard that in my life, but I did not live in the part of the South that Tia is from. So who knows if that's a localism, that's a different, but I was like, no, that's not a common broad Southern American way of referring to that. I've simply never heard of that, and some googling has led me to believe that it's not common, because the only references that seem to come up are the fact that Tia said it on Bachelor in Paradise.
Interesting.
Right, but that could also mean that it's just not on the internet.
Yes,
when Tia said it
could they be don't like have a very old school thing too. It could be like a thing that older people say and therefore was not on the internet, if that makes sense, you know, like your grandma,
get your gosh dang China pot out of here.
But I don't even know what it means. I can't picture a China pot. They mean a Chinese vase.
She's talking about her vajayjay there, EZR.
I got that much. But what are they thinking of? Are they thinking of a Chinese vase that's like slender?
I was thinking of a clay pot. That's what I was thinking about.
But how is that China? And they say China.
You know, I don't know. Yeah. I'm confused. I will say, and this was always very fun to me, a thing that my grandma used to refer to your nether regions, my maternal grandmother, my mom's mom, that I've never heard anyone else say, is she would call it your all together. You'd be like, you got to cover your all together up. And it was like, what? And I do not think that that's common at all, which is what makes me think it could be something like an older person says that has just been passed down and therefore is not on the internet. And yeah, it could be some weird, like, I don't know, there might be like an Orientalism is adifying kind of thing happening here, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't fully get. Yeah, I mean, somebody needs to ask Tia exactly, like, where does this phrase come from? And in what way does it, like, what kind of Chinese pot are we referring to here? Is the shape important? Like, what's going on? Because that was sort of an interesting in quotes, I guess. It was just a thing that, like, nobody seems to have heard of ever before.
Right. Well, I wonder what her Bible study thinks of her saying the F word in relation to Kenny and Demi. I thought that was great. Fine.
Yeah. We do have fashion if we want to hit fashion.
Oh, we do?
Oh, there's so much fashion in this episode.
We're getting towards the end of our record time here, so if we want to do fashion, let's do it quickly.
Craig's standing up and his legs are tired.
Yes.
This is the fashion roundup. Craig likes to talk about what people are wearing.
Do we have to talk about Connor's
thing? Oh, we absolutely have to talk about Connor's thing. Because
Now, hold on. Because you had texted us that there was an outfit that you own.
Yes, an outfit that appeared in these episodes is an outfit that I own. Myself.
And we're supposed to guess which one it is.
Yeah, Craig, do you have a guess of which outfit you think somebody wore in these episodes?
Nothing stood out to me except for Connor's outfit. I thought maybe you owned something like Connor's outfit.
I do not own Connor's outfit. I would not wear Connor's outfit. And in fact, it is one of the worst outfits I've ever seen. But no, that's a good guess. Easy.
Then I don't really have a guess then, because nothing stood out to me.
That you own Mari's crazy dress. I don't know. I can't think of anything.
So I will say it did not get a large fashion moment in this show, but what I own is the outfit that Tajwan was wearing when she stood in the water, screamed out at the ocean and said, Taj can't pee. Taj can't poop. I own that tie-dye onesie romper that she was wearing.
It was like in the middle of the night. I definitely did not see. But and then she left with it on, right?
She was wearing a different one when she left. She was wearing like a dress and I saw something we didn't mention at all, but it was very weird how both Trey and Taj, like, Trey was basically like, guess my time here is done. I'm out, like, out of nowhere. And then Taj was like, Becca arrived, and she was like, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And I, for one, will miss Tajwan on this show.
Yeah.
I don't know. She didn't even go for Riley. She was liked him so much. I don't understand that at all. I'm like, I understand that there's, you know, now these two are together, but I don't feel like she really, I don't know. She's kind of like in the middle, you know, she's self-defeatist and then she's also complains about it. So I don't know. It's not a good place to be.
No, it was a weird show. I think she really fumbled the move in terms of, like, when Riley came on last week. She messed up in her approach with Riley that, you know, she was freaking out that he arrived and was saying he's her number one. She had such a crush on Riley. And then when he pulls her for that chat, she basically is just like, I would marry you tomorrow. Take me here right now. And I think it was too much. You know what I mean? Like, she laid the cards out on the table too much, I think. I think that was a little bit of a turn off to him that, like, instead of just being like, oh, yeah, I would be interested in you. I think you're attractive. She was just like, you're the only person I could ever love, Riley. So I think he was just like, I think I'll go with Marissa.
Man, she's like, yeah, she's 0 for 3. I just, you know, you watch yourself on TV and you think you'd learn about how, if she really wants a relationship, because she freaks out every time. Anyway,
yes. That's okay. So
Connor's romper. Let's talk about
Connor's. That. It's not a romper, actually. It's two separate pieces he was tucking in the shirt. Right. Yep. True. It's a matching top and bottom set that is split down the center. So it's a floral pattern on one side and a stripe pattern on the other. He really made a meal out of this outfit. This was like, he put this on and he came
out. I didn't hate it. I didn't see what the big deal was.
I mean, it was ugly. It was obviously ugly, but everyone was freaking out about it. Like, everyone else on the beach was like, Connor's outfit, oh my God. And then he did a fashion
screen
show,
time
montage.
For him. Yeah.
He did like a modeling thing.
Yeah.
I'll have you know that that outfit is extremely cheap and poorly made because I looked it up. The whole thing together costs about $40. It's definitely made out of polyester. No way it's breathable. We needed to mention it because it was like a character in the episode, this outfit, right? I didn't like it. I mean, it was ugly, obviously. But it's not the worst thing ever, but neither is it the way that people were talking about it. You would think it's, you know, he's made a real incredible statement here. Whereas it's like, yeah, it's ugly, but it's not too much uglier than a lot of other things that people wear.
Right.
But yeah, it's a bad outfit. So there's that. You know what was a very fun fashion choice in that Monday night episode? Did you see Kenny's tank top in that episode?
The blue one?
He always wears that cat thing.
He's wearing it is, and this is very funny.
Oh,
because of the backstory on it.
Kenny. Yeah, it's Claire's dogs, right?
It's Claire's dogs. It's the shirt he made for his, well, he got made. You know, he didn't make it personally. For his entrance on Claire's season, it's what he wore when he got out of the limo. It's her dog's faces, and they're wearing military uniforms. And he must love that shirt, because he's turned it into a muscle tee, and he's wearing it all the time.
Right.
Yes. So it's just funny to me that it's Claire's dogs, and he's like, I love this shirt. I love this dog military uniform shirt.
It's an interesting flex, for sure.
Yeah, it's an interesting choice. I will also say something that stood out to me is that Kenny has the same Adidas slides, like those red slides that Grocery Store Joe wears all the time.
Mm.
Kenny has the exact same ones, but Kenny does not wear no-show socks with his. He wears them barefoot as God intended us to.
Right. Yeah.
So, something interesting to point out. There were a lot of outfits that were sort of interesting choices, I would say, overall. Like what Lance Bass wears to talk to Natasha is like a swirly, like green and white shirt. And his hair is blue. He's also dyed his hair blue. And he talked on another podcast about apparently he re-dyes it frequently because that blue comes out like whenever you wash it. So he's constantly dyeing that thing. He was dyeing it in Mexico.
Yeah, I don't wash my hair very often. I like the natural oil look.
To keep the blue in there?
Well, it would keep the blue if I added blue, yeah.
One thing that was also very interesting to me is, so you know what Mari was wearing when she threw the cake in the fire?
Right.
Was this like yellow, it was a matching set where it's a yellow top with one shoulder kind of crop top and then a matching skirt that the skirt goes down below your knees, but it has an extremely high slit all the way up to like mid thigh. When Kendall arrives on the beach at the very end of the episode on Tuesday night, she is wearing the exact same outfit, but it's a red version. It's literally the same. Like person made it, you know, it's the same company, so it's interesting to me that they both have that on the beach with them.
Huh?
No comments.
Craig, what? What? No, I didn't even notice what she was wearing, so I don't really know what you guys are talking about.
Okay.
Sorry, I don't know. I was Kendall.
I was just going to say that, like EZR had said, it was dark during a lot of these outfits, so I didn't really notice a lot of them.
You know, maybe it's just to say, obviously I pay attention to fashion, but maybe it's also pertinent to point out here that I don't need to wear glasses. I have perfect vision and excellent night vision, so I don't even notice the differences in the darkness here.
Oh,
I've got like pilot size buddies.
I think most of the time with everything that's annoying me and with people like Joe and everything, I'm just totally zoned out because I am half falling asleep. And I can't believe, you know, people love Joe, and I can't believe he's talking, and I can't, there's more than one woman going after him. So, it's not really,
yeah,
not really too invested.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Sorry.
It was a grocery store Joe fashion moment I wrote down, which is that at the rose ceremony, you know, like a lot of people dress up even more for the rose ceremony than they do on every other night. Not grocery store Joe. He's wearing his t-shirt again. It's like a straight up plain sweaty ass t-shirt that he wears to the rose ceremony.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah,
it just sort of made me laugh because it was like, oh, he's like not putting in any effort to his appearance at all. And most of these men are like, I have put on a button-down shirt. I have unbuttoned it halfway to show off my pecs, you know?
Yeah, but see, doesn't that have to be an act? Because he's on a show where you literally have to try so hard all the time to just stay relevant. Mm. It's very hard for me to believe that his downer depression thing, I think he's red flagging because he's always kind of saying insulting things and he's always acting he doesn't want to be there, but he clearly really wants to be there since he's there. Like, right. No one's, you know, pushing him on the plane, dragging him out the plane. He's super there.
He's imprisoned on the beach.
Well, he's
not able to leave.
He's going to have two women fighting over him next episode. So
yeah, but he's
going to
act like, oh, no. Anyway,
yeah, he's going to act very sad boy about.
Okay, last thing. Kendall calling Joe butthead, yay or nay?
I mean, I didn't like
that's
it.
Just like, that's just their... It's clear that Joe gets away by like so is hers and Serena. That's his way. He like loves to insult them. He's keeps telling them rude things.
He loves that, right? And he loves when they make fun of him because that's how he and Serena flirt too. You're right. Mm-hmm. Like they do this, like, you know, that whole scene where she's like making fun of his name and he's clearly loving it. He's into it. So I think that is one of the things, like his love language is like his flirtation style. Sort of making fun of each other. So, I mean, yeah, I guess I'm assuming that Butthead is a pet name that she had for him.
Got it.
And
but
I mean, I don't
definitely
personally not a pet name I would choose to be called or call someone, particularly on TV, but an interesting choice of entry.
But it's time. Yeah, but it's also on, you know, it's also him. He clearly is the one who starts the whole, like, let's flirt by insulting each other thing. Right. Because both these women who would not do it, do it. So, whatever.
Yeah. So, we'll see. Obviously, you know, we know next week, because Kendall has already come down, that a lot of next week's episodes are going to be about Kendall and Serena and Joe. But we can also see that it looks like Piper will probably be arriving next week.
Yeah.
So, you're going to get a strong two different relationship love triangles. I'm putting triangles in quotes because we know, at least for the Natasha Brendan Piper love triangle, that's not even a triangle at all. It's a straight line.
And don't forget that Kenny still has to deal with Demi. And
yeah, Kenny's gonna have a lot of action, I assume, both literally and figuratively in these next episodes, because he's got, so Tia's clearly into Kenny. And Demi's still going with that. And then we see that Mari is going to make a play to get back in the Kenny game as well. So he's got a lot of stuff going on that front.
Yeah.
You know, Kenny is one of my favorite people on the beach this season because he's having a great time. He's having fun. He doesn't seem like he seems like he's not a malicious person. He's not nefarious in any way. He's just having a great old time out there. And good for him.
Right. Yep. Good for him. All right. Follow us on social media at Bachelor Masters. Give us a review on the Apple Podcast app, which just got updated. If you update your iPhone, you get a newer version of it. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.